many really could use a word from the Lord this morning? Anybody seeking for any direction, any breakthrough, any deliverance, any healing, any traction? If you're stuck and can't make a move, then the word of the Lord is for all of us this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this: "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." And then it says this: "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Thank God that's not the case today. In verse 7 of that same chapter, 1 Samuel 3, verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." And we can assume from that verse that the more we know the Lord, the easier it is for us to hear the word of the Lord. He did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. I'm so glad we do not live under the Old Testament dispensation, where it can be said of our day, the word of the Lord was rare. Thank God we live under a much better covenant, and there is a word from the Lord when we need it. I want to speak to you this morning about the word of the Lord. That phrase, the word of the Lord, is mentioned in the Bible more than 250 times. Our life, our salvation, our eternity rest on the basis of our being able to hear clearly the word of the Lord. In the Old Testament, King Zedekiah was desperate to hear from God, and he asked the prophet Jeremiah, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And immediately the reply from the prophet was, "Yes, there is." There is always a word from the Lord, and more so now in our day, under the new covenant, where the Holy Spirit speaks to us from the inside out. More availability to hear the word, more access to the word of the Lord today than ever before. Now, we know how powerful the word of the Lord is. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 in the Amplified Bible, it says, "The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective." This is how powerful the word of the Lord is. Imagine just for a moment the entire universe, nothing but darkness. There is no sun, there is no moon, there are no stars to light up the sky, nothing but complete darkness. And then God speaks four words: "Let there be light." And the Bible says, and there was light. David the psalmist said, "The word of the Lord is powerful." How many decisions do you make in a 24-hour period? Many of them we make simply through logic, and God gives us that, through reason, through mental rationale. We don't have to pray intensely about every decision we make. But there are a few times in life when we face a fork in the road. We have a decision to make, and whichever decision we make will affect the trajectory for the rest of our lives. And more than once in your life or mine, we need to hear the word of the Lord at a critical time in our life. Now, I know that there are many in our church family that are seeking for the word of the Lord. Some in our church family are seeking the Lord about a career path, a choice for vocation. Some are praying about changing their careers midstream. There are people in our church family who have consulted with their doctor lately and have been given a report that was not a good one, and they are now facing decisions about what treatment they need to receive. And more than a natural answer, what we need at times like that is the word of the Lord. When you hear it, it will bring peace and it will dismiss confusion. When you hear the word of the Lord, you'll realize I can believe that because your faith is at a high level after hearing the word of the Lord. And today I want to talk for just a few minutes about the importance of hearing the word of the Lord. Jesus said, if any man has an ear, let him hear. And then he said, take heed how you hear. There are so many voices crying out to us from the crowd. And it's the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord that we need to hear louder than any other voice. We will not only need to hear the word of the Lord, but when we hear it, we need to receive it and we need to obey it. The only other option is to reject it and suffer because we've rejected the word of the Lord. We'll just look briefly at the life of Jonah. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, but Jonah rejected the word of the Lord. Here's a simple story, an overview of the life of Jonah. If there was a book written about the life of Jonah, chapter 1 could be called The Call. Chapter 2 could be called The Storm. Chapter 3 could be called The Fish. Chapter 4 could be called The Second Chance. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Some of you may need to hear the word of the Lord today for the second time. I did a word study on this phrase, the word of the Lord, and it's found over and over in Old Testament books written by prophets, both the major prophets and the minor prophets. And so many times in Scripture, it would say, the word of the Lord came again to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came again to Jeremiah. Thank God, when he has something to say, he will be patient. And he will give us a second chance and a third chance to hear the word of the Lord. Now, here's the way we are in our day. With all the technology available, we will Google and pull up everything off the internet. We'll seek everybody's opinion. I'll tell you what I've heard a lot lately. Well, so-and-so who has a cousin, who has a friend who lives so-and-so, and they said, so we need to believe that. It happens at my house. You know what it's like. We consult the internet and seek opinions from anybody, anywhere, anytime. And all the while, if we're children of God, we have easy access to the word of the Lord. And all we have to do is call on the name of the Lord and we're instantly logged in. That's how available the word of the Lord is to his people. It's easier to hear the word of the Lord today than it's ever been. The Old Testament says things like this: for who can know the mind of the Lord? The New Testament says things like this: put on the mind of Christ. There is a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We live in what the writer of Hebrews calls the better covenant, the everlasting covenant, meaning it can't get any better than this. If so, it wouldn't be an everlasting covenant. God has saved His best covenant for our day. In the Old Testament, it says things like this. I'm not down on the Old Testament. Even the New Testament says every word of Scripture has a reason for being there, a purpose. It's for our own good. But there is a difference between living in Samuel's day, where the word of the Lord was rare, and living in our day, where we have easy access to the word of the Lord. The Old Testament says things like this: eye has not seen, nor has any ear heard, all of the wonderful things God has for His people. The New Testament, the one we enjoy today, says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly. The original Greek word for expressly is explicitly. Have you heard God speak that clearly to you? That you can say, the Holy Spirit spoke the word of the Lord to me expressly. The Holy Spirit spoke the word of the Lord to me in explicit terms. That's how clear God can speak. Now, He's always been a great communicator, even in the Old Covenant. When He wanted Noah to build an ark, even without the Holy Spirit living on the inside of Noah that we enjoy today, God was able to tell Noah what kind of wood to get, how long, how wide, how tall, how many windows to put in it. And if God could speak to a man that clearly, that expressly, that explicitly, when there was no Holy Spirit widespread in the earth, how much more clearly and expressly can God speak the word of the Lord to His people today? I'm telling you, it's a great day to be alive, and it's easy to hear from God. I've always said that. I've always believed that. Some children of God go through their entire lifetime with this cloud over their mind that, oh, I've never heard God say, I would be in fear and trembling if God were, God doesn't speak today, and He can't speak to me. Maybe He can speak to somebody, but not to me. Who am I? We have lived far beneath the privilege of being children of God, if that's our mindset. Now, I want to say this. I have never heard God speak to me in an audible voice. But I could never deny that I've heard the word of the Lord at times in my life. Now, God can speak with an audible voice, like He did to Saul on the road to Damascus. He heard a voice. It was the voice of God. God is very capable of speaking audibly. I know some people who say they've heard Him speak audibly. My testimony is this. I've never heard Him speak with an audible voice. Some people have asked me over the years, and I'm careful how I throw this phrase around because I know some people can't understand it, but I've found it easy to say, well, I heard the Lord speak to me. And it's true, I have heard, not with an audible voice. And one person asked me one time, when you say you've heard the Lord speak to you, do you mean you've heard an audible voice? And my answer immediately was, oh, no. Not an audible voice. It was much louder than that. Now, you'll see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God speaks sometimes through dreams, through visions, through angels, through people, through prophets, and even donkeys. When God has something to say, He can get to where you are. He knows where you live. He speaks from His Word, and He speaks by His Spirit. It's like a voice on the inside, and it hits me this way. It comes to my spirit and to my mind at the same time. We've had the pleasure of all four of our grandchildren being with us this past week. And of course, you know, our older daughter, Brandy, and her husband, Rex, and their three children live in Austin, Texas. We had not seen them for 2 years. And then they came and spent the past week with us at our home here. We called it the Texas invasion. And here are two happy grandparents right here, Brenda and myself, with all four of our grandkids. Rare and wonderful. And during our conversation with Gideon, he's our second oldest grandson. He's the one in the green shirt right there. Now, you know, I am a grandfather, so I just have to excuse me. It's such a rare thing, showing off my grandkids all together here. Well, Gideon and I were talking this past week, and he said this to me. We were talking about dreams and nightmares, and he's had both, and so have I, and so have all of us. And Gideon said, I had a nightmare one night, Poppy. He calls me Poppy. And he said, in my nightmare, it was a nightmare. There was danger, somebody chasing me, I was afraid. And in my dream, Gideon said, in my dream I prayed. And in my dream, when I prayed, the danger left. And Gideon said this to me. He said, when I woke up from that dream, he said, that's when I decided to be a Christian. God can speak through dreams, even to our children and to our grandchildren. And He speaks through His Logos, His written word, inspired Scripture. And every word is for our benefit. And I'm a believer in His Word. If you want to hear God speak and you don't know where to begin, find yourself in the book. And then as you are reading the written Word, the Logos, Word of God, suddenly something will hit you in your spirit. And it'll become rhema. It will become a proceeding Word from God. Let me tell you, in my life, quickly, just a few examples of both. God speaking the word of the Lord to me from written Scripture, and God speaking the word of the Lord I needed in that moment by the Spirit speaking inside of me. First of all, from Scripture. And some of you know my life story and my testimony well, so I'll be brief as I cover these examples. But we were living in California and felt like God was calling us to pastor. Didn't know much other than that. Couldn't hear anything beyond that, just a little bit, and that was it. Brenda and I both were seeking the Lord. We had our antennas up. It's a good place to keep your antennas up all the time. And she said to me one night as we were sitting in bed reading, she reading her Living Bible, and I was reading whatever translation, and she said, darling, I've got a word for you. And I said, okay, what is it? And it came from the book of Ezekiel. In the Living Bible, it said, one day, late in June, when I was 30 years old, suddenly the heavens were opened unto me, and I saw visions from God. Well, when that word found its way to me, I was 29 years and 10 months old. I was going to turn 30 on June the 24th, coming up in just a few weeks. And so it was a word from the Lord that exploded inside my spirit, and it hit my mind and my thought life at the same time. I immediately could judge it and say, you know, I believe that is the word of the Lord for me. It's a right now word. So the logos, the written word, provided the rhema, the spoken, relevant word I needed right now in this situation. Another time, the Lord spoke his word to me from Scripture. And you know this story. It was 20-whatever years ago, my first trip to Russia. I was assigned to speak for 5 days in a city I'd never heard of, the nation Latvia, the city Liepāja, and all the information that was given to me before we got there about the city Liepāja, Latvia, is that it had a population of 120,000 people. I thought, that's impressive. Not bad. And then when we got there, as soon as we landed, we realized everybody that lived over there wore their wedding band on their right hand instead of their left hand. Poor people, no diamonds or flashy, expensive jewelry, just a simple wedding band, but they wore it on their right hand. We had 5 days of crusade services there. We got on the plane to come back home. 10 of you, church members, were with me on that trip. And as soon as I got on the plane to come back, I realized, oh God, I have a heart for these people. They're hungry for God. They've not been able to go to church or learn anything about God or worship publicly above ground in decades. And now they're free and they're hungry. God, are you finished with me in that city? And I knew he wasn't, and I didn't know any more than that. But I knew my heart was still there. And so I did the only thing I knew to do, and opened my Bible on the plane. And my natural mind said, read the book of Jonah, because that's a book about God calling a man to a city. So I opened my Bible on the plane flying back and read the entire book of Jonah. It was an easy, quick read, only 4 chapters. And all the while, I'm in my mind and in my spirit thinking, God, what's this about? I mean, I have a wonderful life in Florence, and I don't want to live over here the rest of my life, and what are you saying? And I read the entire book of Jonah and got to the last verse that says, God speaking to Jonah, why should I not be compassionate about this great city of 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left? I said, it's easy to hear from God. Easier than it's ever been. And you know the rest of that story. Then there is the word of the Lord I've heard on a few occasions in my life that was not scripture, did not come from the written word, but it came as a word spoken to me by the Spirit. I heard it on the inside of me. It was a word that was translated spirit to spirit. Now, if you know the New Testament, and you do, we are one spirit with God. So when God has something to say, he's already here and he's the speaker of the house. And it's easy to hear what he has to say. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sometimes in your life and in mine, we need to hear the word of the Lord, and we need to hear a fresh word. We need to hear a specific word. We need the Spirit to speak expressly and explicitly. We need to hear a word that's relative right now to the challenge we're facing right now, and that's when we need to hear a proceeding word. Thank God for the proceeding word of the Lord, a fresh word. God did not write the book and then have a stroke and became mute forever. If God ever did speak, he still speaks. And I'll give you a few examples of God speaking the word of the Lord to me as a proceeding word. It wasn't scriptural, based on scripture, but as we grow in the Lord and as we weld our spirit and the Holy Spirit together, and we have a right to do that if you're a child of God. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with God. He's already right in here. If he's got something to say, your gut will feel it first. I've learned that my thought life and my prayer life are one and the same. We're told to pray without ceasing. Well, the only way to do that is our mind has to be engaged. There are many times, and I'm sure in your life too, you have had conversations with God, and it was not audible or out loud. You talked to God from your spirit, and your mind was aware of what you were saying and what you were hearing. The Bible says God spoke to Peter in a vision. It's in the book of Acts. And the Bible says this, as Peter thought on the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, many years ago, I was a young pastor, and I'm still a young pastor, but I'm talking many years ago when I was a younger pastor, I read that. I read that in Scripture. I got the Logos, the written word, as Peter thought on the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke, and it was like God said to me right then, not audibly, but in here, son, if you'll think on the vision, the Holy Spirit will speak to you too. A rhema word, a proceeding word. And it works on the job. I remember many years ago, part of my responsibility when I worked for Laverne Tripp, and his television program was on all over the country and in other nations. Back then in the old days, there were TV tapes that weighed 30, 40 pounds. They were 2-inch wide, and it came in a metal casing for shipping in and out of the office. I would send tapes every week to dozens of television stations all over the country, and then I did it on Tuesday. It was the worst day of my week. I dreaded getting up on Tuesday. Monday was all right, but on Tuesday I knew I've got to ship a lot of heavy TV tapes again today all over the country. I was doing that one time in my natural rhythm and breaking a sweat like I did, and I heard the Lord say, here again, not audibly, but it was in my spirit and in my mind, you're overlooking the obvious. I was busy with those heavy boxes. And then I hear, you're overlooking the obvious. And here's what I did. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not any more spiritual than you are. I'm not any more special than you are to God. If it'll work for one, it'll work for all of us. But when I heard those words in my spirit and in my mind, it was in my thoughts too. I recognized the words in my mind. That's important. Your thought life and your prayer life and spirit life, they need to be connected 24/7. How else can we pray without ceasing? So when I heard those words, you're overlooking the obvious. I had two heavy television tape reels in those metal boxes in my hand. And I did this. I put them down and I stepped back 2 or 3 steps and overlooking the obvious. Those words came to my mind. They entered my thought life. God was speaking to me by his spirit. It hit my gut and it registered with my mind to the point that I can quote it verbatim for the rest of my life. I remember the day when I heard the word of the Lord speak to me and say, you're overlooking the obvious. And I stepped back for a minute or two and I thought, what could this mean? And within a few minutes, I connected the dots and realized we don't really need to do this anymore. This is the old way of doing things. This used to be the only way, the best way, the only way, but there are satellites in the sky right now carrying Laverne Tripp's program on the network. All I need to do is send a letter to every television station and tell them we're no longer shipping tapes through UPS back and forth, that his program comes on a certain satellite, a certain transponder, and a certain day and time of the week for them to pick it up there. I took Tuesdays off after that. I'm telling you, it works on your job. The Spirit of God has something to say to you, and it can be applied at work too. Make your work life a lot easier. Then after 10, 12 years living in Spartanburg, Brenda and I, a young married couple, we were faced with the decision, should we move to California or not? Our employer, man, he's probably watching. He keeps his eye on me. Yeah. But he had already moved a few years earlier. We knew the day would come when we would be required to move if we wanted to continue working there. And finally, that day came. And he didn't even say, do y'all want to go? He said, I mean, Brenda and I didn't know. Are you in a place right now where you just really don't know what to do? You're at a crossroads. You think you need everybody's opinion, and some opinions are worth hearing. But there does come a time in your life where you don't confer with flesh and blood, at least as a priority. You go to God and expect the word of the Lord to deliver you and give you direction. So Brenda and I were praying, Lord, our grandparents, our kids, they didn't want us to move that far away. They would never get to see their grandchildren, or seldom. And we didn't know what life would be like. We were happy where we were settled. We loved the house we were in. We loved the city we lived in. Everything about life was wonderful. And was it worth the risk to give this up, to go see how that would be? And Brenda and I were confused. And when that happens at our house, we know, whoop, something's not right. Because God is not the author of confusion. And so we guard peace at the house. And if our peace is ever disturbed, we know, oh, holy, we got to change something quickly. So we were a little confused and seeking the word of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Brenda. Thank God for, yeah, I think Pastor Steve said, everybody's life is better when you are around. And I'll say amen. But she said, darling, I believe I heard the Lord speak. And I believe I heard him say, if you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. When I heard it. When you hear it, every bit of confusion leaves. And such a rush of peace. I mean, just 10 minutes earlier, oh God, are we going to have to pack boxes and load trucks and all of a sudden, get the word of the Lord. Oh, we could not wait to pack our boxes and get in the truck and head out. The difference the word of the Lord makes at certain times in your life. And the Lord kept his word to us. We went and lived a year. It was great. As soon as we got there, we thought, well, we're never leaving here. It was February, and oranges and lemons and grapefruit growing in the yard where we were living. It was nice and comfortable right here where we were, but we could see snow on top of Big Bear Mountain in the distance, way over yonder. Snow cap all the time. I thought, huh, I think this is pretty close to heaven. I think we're going to stay here for the rest of our life. But after a year, God began stirring, and our call began changing, and he kept his word. After we spent a year there, he showed us his perfect will for the rest of our lives. And we're as happy as a hog in 40 acres of slop. I want to close by giving you God's revelation to Elijah the prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 11, then he, God, said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. We'll just stop right there a minute. When you're desperate for a word from the Lord, oh, the easiest thing, the thing you want, Father God, show up. Lord, show up. Lord, is that you? If so, you have good timing. I get a witness right now. But when you need a word from the Lord and you're desperate to hear from God, oh, it's so nice if he would just speak in a windstorm. Just undeniable, irrefutable. Just show up that big and show off that wild with the word that you need. The Bible says, the Lord was not in the wind. Then, after the wind, an earthquake. Now, then we think, oh, God, if you'll just shake the place where I am, just shake it, I'll know it's you. Just shake the place and give me a word in the shaking. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Now, you could hear the word of the Lord in a blazing fire, can't you? Oh, God, speak that loud. God, speak so clearly and loudly. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's how we must train ourselves to hear the word of the Lord, because he can turn up the volume on his voice if he needs to, but he doesn't like to do that often. Neither do I. I'm a parent too. I do not prefer screaming my head off to my children when I want them to hear something I want to say. I would rather them be in a position in relationship with their father that's close enough that all I have to do is just speak in a small voice and they get it. And the original Hebrew there in that verse, a still small voice, means this, a delicate whispering voice. God speaks to us by his Spirit most of the time, not in the windstorm, not in the earthquake, not in the wildfires, but in a delicate whispering voice. God, help us all to be aware of his presence and able to hear that delicate whispering voice. Would you stand with me?